Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. If you've just joined us, we're about to engage in a conversation that is pertinent to all of us as South Africans. If you cast your mind back to July 2021, where we had the looting and unrest, we'd all be well aware of the damage that was caused by much of the unrest that damaged public institutions and infrastructure. But a key insurance provider, the South African Special Risk Insurance Association, also referred to as SASRIA, really came to the party and since then has been fighting fit as an insurance provider to ensure that should there be any heightened level of risk like civil commotion, strikes or terrorism, we will be able to withstand some of those pressures. SASRIA has published its financial results and as a state-owned company. Tonight we're going to deep dive into them to get some perspective on these figures with the CEO, Mpumi Chikwe, who joins us as the CEO of SASRIA. Such a pleasure to have you, sir.
Good evening, ma'am, and good evening to your listeners.
Always excited to speak to you. And I guess when it comes to SASRIA, it always helps when you provide the context around the looting and the unrest, because that's when we go, that's the company that helped us out and cultivated a level of pride, security and comfort to businesses and institutions that we have. Since then, it seems as though things have been looking up for you since 2021.
Yeah, look, it's been an improvement. Over 3 years now, and we've published a good set of results where we've seen growth in our premium income thanks to our policyholders. And of course, I think more important, we have to thank the South African public, because we've had fewer incidents of protests that results into claims. Mm-hmm. So as much as we are seeing an increasing trend where people are protesting for various things, including water shedding, and then we are seeing also students contributing to the claims as well. But generally, the amount has been low such that we've been able to publish a good set of results.
Yeah.
I must add quickly, Gugu, that for us, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Mm.
So we've got a long way to go to build those reserves so that we are fit for the next eventuality as and when it happens.
Exactly. Let's talk about building those reserves and how long this marathon just might be, right? Because not only is it spirited and strong financial controls that you have within the institution, but as you mentioned, our behavior as well as South Africans to actually limit any damage to our infrastructure. What about the payment of premiums? I'm aware that we journeyed together on a roadshow where we tried to cultivate an awareness for South Africans to say, you know, that extra 5 rand, that extra 2 rand, that extra 10 rand that you pay on your insurance premium, it's important. Make sure you tick that box and actually get it covered.
Yes, so what we did with effect from the 1st of October this year, we have increased our premiums, weighted average of 25%. For the men in the street, for your car and your house and so on, no increase there.
Mm-hmm.
But generally for businesses and so on, we've increased the premiums. I must say, though, that comes off a very, very low base.
Yes.
We had, in the years where we didn't have claims, reduce the premiums or reduce the rate that we charge customers. Okay. So now we are going back to the levels we were before. And insofar as how long this marathon is going to take, we've set a target that by 2029, we should have reserves within SASRIA of about 30 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And these will be augmented by any other reinsurance arrangements that we'll have in place by that time. So if you look currently, what do we have? We're sitting on reserves of 18.5 billion as I'm speaking to you now. Compared to July 2021, we had half of that. We had 9.5 billion.
Ah.
So now we've almost doubled the what we had in July 2021. We are sitting with 10 billion rands of reinsurance coverage. We pay quite a significant premium for this cover, but we have it. So in any eventuality right now, we can handle anything between 20 to 22 billion rands without government support.
Got you. And that's a good step, because essentially if we compare to 2021, where that was 34 billion rand, actually needed some government intervention and support.
Yes, we ended up getting 22 billion rands of government support at that time. Right now, we will need, as I'm saying, if we have an event above 22 billion, below that, we will be able to handle it without any government support. Why 30 billion? We anticipate by 2029, we'll have 30 billion rands of our own reserves, plus an additional 15 billion. So we'll be able to handle an event of about 40 billion rands in 2029. We're not in any way encouraging South Africans to protest and do damage, but we have to be ready because what you are seeing globally does worry us.
Yes.
And I don't think South Africa is necessarily immune to the trend or what we are picking up. What am I referring to, Gugu, is the youth unemployment that we have seen in developing countries.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's
Kenya,
things happening.
In the Middle East, is it Indonesia?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But look, let's bring it closer to home so that people can have a perspective. We have a situation that's playing out in Tanzania right now as we speak.
Yes, actually.
We had Madagascar a few weeks ago. We had Nepal. And Bangladesh. So you are having this situation where Gen Zs are saying they are not happy with the way they are being governed, the way that their taxes are being spent, and so on and so on. And they go into the streets and protest. Now, in South Africa, fortunately, I think as much as we have this youth unemployment, I think people are, to put it nicely, they are tolerant. I'm not in any way encouraging them to protest. And they are giving, you know, our leaders the space to do what they have to do.
Gotcha.
But that road, at some stage, if we don't start delivering results to them, might result in something that we do not want in the country, as much as it happened in 2021. 100%.
I'm glad you actually draw on these global examples, because that's when the penny really drops for many South Africans to say, hey, if that had to happen here at home. But mentioning that, it does seem as though, notwithstanding, there are some challenges that are unique to the South African environment, such as illegal mining, which also come to the fore, and a few other themes that have been on your radar.
Exactly. I mean, we've just come out, I think Eskom is largely sorted, and so on. Yes, we do have some load shedding from time to time in different places. We've got the water issue, where people are protesting. We've got illegal mining. And what worries us the most about the illegal miners, you look at the people who have been arrested, about 2,700 people have been arrested. 81% of those people are not South Africans, or they are undocumented immigrants. And furthermore, they are younger than 30, and they've got access to illegal explosives and heavy gun machinery, so weapons. And that's not raising a terrorism risk, because if they have got access to this, we don't know where they could use them next and so on. So we've got these sort of unique situations which we need to get on top of. We've got current challenges. I mean, we've got the Madlanga Commission going on, and the ad hoc parliamentary committee, which is looking into police leadership or the whole security system. We know what made July 2021 terrible was the lack of response from the security cluster.
Yeah.
Now you've got the situation. I mean, what is clear, without passing judgment on what's going on at the Madlanga Commission, what is clear is that police leadership are not singing from the same hymn book.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there are problems. We might not know exactly where those problems are. And the message that they send to the junior cops, then what is it if leadership is in that particular state? So we need to get on top of these things as a country much, much more quicker, so that we will be able to respond to any other external forces that might affect us.
100%. I'm aware that you're under pressure for time, but my last question really speaks to the theme around reinsurance. And for those who aren't in the insurance space, they're probably wondering, why does it matter? Why is it important? But the truth is, you have your necessary capital, but you also need to make sure that there's additional buffers in place. And that also undertakes ongoing interactions with international counterparts. South Africa's just gotten off the grey list. Yes, we might have the Madlanga Commission, but from a monetary policy point of view and even fiscal strategy, even the updates we have on Operation Vulindlela, seems as though we're making progress. Is that working in our favor?
It is, especially, actually, the outcome of the elections. The fact that we had peaceful, successful elections. So it was a coup, because you look at what's going on in Tanzania, it's post-elections and so on. So the elections tend to trigger such incidents. So the reinsurers look at it, and as Sazria would told them this is how South Africans behave during an election year. You need not worry, and it turned out that way. So we are grateful to South Africans once more. Also, secondly, we are hosting the G20.
Yes.
So we're going to have world leaders here. So an event of that magnitude gets the necessary attention from people like terrorists and so on.
Mm.
So that, but also we've handled bigger events than this one. Before, we had the Soccer World Cup, we had the climate change conferences, the BRICS summits, and so on. And whenever South Africa puts its best foot forward, from a security point of view, we do very well. So we are confident that G20 will go well. And those are the ticks that we are getting as a country from their insurers. But they do still continue to charge us an arm and a leg because they are worried about the things that we deal with on a daily basis. Our economic growth, our fundamentals are just not going in the right directions. They would like to see economic growth. They would like to see the unemployment numbers coming down, the inequality, and some of the socio-economic challenges that we are faced with.
And like you said, these are not things that change overnight. It really is a marathon. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate your time, Dr. Chiku.
Thank you, madam. Have a good evening.
Likewise, that is Mpumi Chikwe, the CEO of Sestria.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.